Father, I just thank you and I praise you, and I truly do lift you up. And Father God, I just thank you that your angelic hosts are moving throughout this place today. And Father God, I thank you for the people who came out to sit at your table. Let them glean what you would have them glean tonight, Father. And Father God, let them be partakers of your glory. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know who you were, but somebody was coming against me during praise and worship, and you really excited me. Because, you know, when you come against me, you just, the angels come and they reinforce, they energize me, and I was having a good time in the song service. Thank you for coming against me. Thank you. I just really want to thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus. Saying you really need to learn that when people come against you, you can feel it. But then, you know, if you just give it to God, God will bring the angels and he'll cover you, and what they're doing will not hurt you whatsoever. See, if they're bad mouthing you or thinking bad thoughts of you, then they're not gods anyhow. They really aren't. Because a child of God wouldn't do that. Amen. So get that in your spirit now. If you're going to make heaven your home, you're going to have to know how to act like a true Christian. All right, so I'm going to teach tonight on worship and divine revelation. Psalm 111, verse 2 says, God's works are so great, worth a lifetime of study and endless enjoyment. God's works are so great, worth a lifetime of study and endless enjoyment. Now, the works of the Lord are salvation. You know, the great works we're talking about. Salvation, health, miracles, and the nine gifts of the Spirit. Now, 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11 tells us what the nine gifts are. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. All right? For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same. It's the same Spirit of God that gives you all these things. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. See, God will work through whoever he desires to work through in any given second. And you don't tell God when he's going to use you. God will nudge you and tell you when he's going to work through you. All right? We need to understand how great the works of the Lord are. We also need to understand that the works of the Lord are only manifested as we worship and praise him. That's why you're not seeing the glory. Did you read the word for the day? Did you post the word for the day? No. Yeah, you got it. I sent it to you. But anyhow, God's saying you're all asking about the glory, and he's wanting to know why. Have you repented? I forgot one of the questions he asked you, and he said, I love you. And he signed off. So we will post that. All right? Won't we, Brother Brad? Thank you. All right, so we need to understand how great the works of the Lord are. We also need to understand that the works of the Lord are only manifested as we worship and praise him. As long as we reject worshiping God and praising him and glorifying his name, we will have no knowledge of his works being great. How many of you, let's just say you're walking down the hallway in your house, and all of a sudden you just, for some, no reason, out of the blue, you just start praising the Lord. See, and then somebody is attacking you, and the Spirit of God inside of you is just starts praising to protect you. All right? God has been telling instead of you getting, oh no, what's going on now? Somebody's attacking me, this and that and the other. Instead of you doing that, just start praising the Lord and just see how quickly it just disappears. Why? Because when you start praising God, what happens is the angelic hosts come and they fight your battle for you. All right? But if we sit and we think about what's going on, wondering what's going on, and all that kind of stuff, all you're doing is magnifying the problem. But if you immediately take, whenever you feel that heaviness, whatever you want to call it, as soon as you feel it, start praising the Lord. Make up a song if you have to. Little Isaiah makes up songs all day long. Amen. But make up a song. I do that too. You know, I just start making up a song, just like we're going to read a little bit later. I just start making up songs, just praising the Lord because of his goodness, and I know that he's taking care of me. All right? Are you getting this? You know, if Satan comes to tempt you, start praising the Lord. Start making up a song. You know, praise him, worship him, and watch and see how that thing doesn't go away. I was telling that to somebody the other day, and they said, they come to me then a couple hours later, and they said, you know, it really does work. You know, they hear voices, and they said every time we heard that voice, we would just start singing something about God, and they didn't know anything about God, but they started just making, and they said that immediately their voices disappeared. See, if you'll just praise the Father, He'll take care of your problem. As long as we reject worshiping God and praising Him and glorifying His name, we will have no knowledge of His works being great. God has been telling the body of Christ that He wants His people to spend time worshiping Him. He wants His people as individuals to get alone with Him and worship Him, as well as whole church congregations. You know, I was going to have a real slow song service tonight to go along with the message, but I just couldn't get it slow. Sorry, guys. You know, but it was just wonderful, wasn't it? You know, God is really good. He knows what we need. And He's been telling me we need to celebrate because we've actually won the victory. The victory's already ours, and the enemy's already defeated. And He wants us to be celebrating, not lamenting. All right? The body of Christ does not know what worship means, and that's why you have no joy. God is telling us that on a daily basis and on a personal level, we do not enter into worshiping Him and adoring Him. As a result, when the trials hit, we lose the joy of our salvation. All right, just like the other day, I was chewing Gabriel about something, and little Isaac went, stop, sing. Stop, sing. He's putting his hands on my lips. Sing. Quit chewing Gabriel out. See, he has the concept all down, right? And he wanted me to sing and just let God go ahead and take care of what Gabriel would, whatever he was doing at the moment. Are you understanding this? Little Isaiah does. Amen. Psalm 16:11 links joy and worship together. Only in His presence through worship is there fullness of joy. Psalm 16:11 links joy and worship together. Only in His presence through worship is there fullness of joy. Worship is simply a divine encounter with God. That's all that it is. It's coming into His presence, bowing down, falling down, and showing Him our complete reverence. Worship is the place that God promises to meet with us. We need to understand that worship is something that is done on the inside in our spirit. It's something that comes from the inside out. All right? If you don't have it in there, you no sense singing on the outside because it isn't going to work. It has to come from the inside out. Jesus tells us in John 4:23-24, the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. He's been telling that to us for years, hasn't he? John 4:23-24, the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Worshiping the Lord means coming into His presence, adoring, praising, and loving Him in the same nature as He, and He's in the Spirit. I love to watch, and Sister Grace do her flag dancing because she really gets lost in the Spirit. You know, then I look at Alyssa, and she's in the flesh. And then I look at Barbara, and she's in the spirit, but not as deep as what Grace is. And then we look at Deborah, and she's like a little child, just having a good time with the Father. So each one of them do it differently. Amen? So what I'm saying is, it's no certain way that you do it. It's however your spirit man is working on the inside of you to do it. All right? But I don't want no flesh either. It should all be spirit, but however God uses you, okay? Now, God would never use Barbara to worship the way Grace does because they're two entirely different human beings. I mean, they are two different personalities, period. There's not one thing the same about either. They're so, opposite's the right word. So you would never see Barbara doing what Grace does, never see Grace doing what Barbara does. Are you understanding this? And you know, and you might not see, and E.J. Emma falls out of her chair and maybe Nancy doesn't, you know. So it's however the Spirit is moving inside of you. And so don't try to mock or mimic what somebody else is doing. Don't try to be what they are. We're not clones. We're individuals, and so we have to worship God the way God has made us. So don't sit there saying, well, she's trying to tell us how to worship. No, I'm not. The Spirit of God inside of you will lead you how to worship the Father. One of the things we need to understand about worship is that it releases blessings in two directions. Not only are we loving God, but at the same time, He is extending His love back toward us. In other words, it's a two-way communication. We humble ourselves and acknowledge that he is everything to us. Then he makes himself known by revelation, insight, and love. Say that again, Brad. He is extending his love back toward us. In other words, it's a two-way communication. We humble ourselves and acknowledge that he is everything to us. Then he makes himself known by revelation, insight, and love. You know, we give him our all, then he turns around and gives us his all. Therefore, part of the joy of worship is a divine revelation that often results. Therefore, the part of the joy of worship is the divine revelation that often results. You know, if you really want to hear God's voice, if you'll sit down and just start praising him, you'll see how quickly he starts talking to you. Because praise just opens up God's heart. And when you start praising him, he gets excited. And then he's a blabbermouth then. He just talks and talks and talks. If you ever noticed that, doesn't he? And so if you really want to hear his voice, just start praising him. And quit your complaining. It doesn't take him into my presence with complaining, right? And quit always going to God with a problem. He knows already what your problems is. Just go before him praising and worshiping him, all right? In one of Dave Hunt's newsletters, he comments, appreciation begets worship. And the Lord responds by revealing himself in ever greater measures in a fellowship of love that overflows in fruitful witnessing. God loves it when you worship him. He really does. He gets excited when you guys get in here and get all excited. And really, you forget about everybody else in the room. And you just start worshiping him. He gets excited. And that's when he comes down from heaven. And that's when he sups and communes with us. All right? If we would just forget about our neighbor. If we would just forget about trying to make out with the man across the aisle. And we would just start trying to make out with the one above, which is God, you'd be surprised how quick heaven would open up and fall down. It would. It really would. How many of you, when you're really upset and really distraught, you just don't know what else to do, so you just start, I just go turn on praise and worship music, and I just sit there and cry. Because I don't know what to say. I've asked all the questions, you know, and I've begged and I've pleaded. I've done everything I know to do. And still the pain is there, so then I just go and just turn on music and just worship. And next thing I know, I'm singing along. I forgot why I even went and sit down. And I can get up and I enjoy the rest of my day. Isn't that the way it works? Come on, say. But if I didn't do that, I could carry that blackness all day long. That dark, gloomy cloud, I could carry it all day long. Amen. See, when I used to go to work, I used to sometimes get in my car when I was going to work and I'd be upset. And I'd just stop the car and just scream the top of my lungs and tell the devil to go. I can't do that no more. Because I'm confined to a house. But, you know, that's one way to get rid of him, too. Get in your car and drive down in the country where nobody will find you. And just scream at him and tell him he's done in your life. Amen. Because if you do it in your home, they call the police on you, wouldn't they? They would think you just lost your mind. But then Sister Elaine doesn't care. She just blows a shofar and blows him away. I don't know what Adam does with his shofar, but she blows him away, right? Do you blow him away with your shofar, Adam? All right, say. We all have different ways that we do this thing, right? All right, and where am I at now? The bottom line. The bottom line is that intimacy must precede insight. You have to become intimate with God before you can do anything else. Nothing else is going to work until you become intimate. Using scriptures in worship. Understand that not all of our encounters with the Lord are dramatic. Sometimes when we worship him, we won't feel a thing. But by faith, all right, we won't feel anything. So quit trying to feel all the time. I don't feel you, God. Well, I like to, he'd slap you real hard, you'd feel him, right? Come on. All right. Sometimes when we worship him, we won't feel a thing. But by faith, we still know he is there, that he hears our praises, and that he is pleased. Other times, our meetings with him will be electric. In other words, he just comes and just moves all over you, and it's just wonderful, powerful. And don't you experience that? Yeah. That's awesome, isn't it? I don't know what you want in hell, because I'm going to tell you right now, nothing can compare to what God can give you. Absolutely nothing. I don't care if you're hanging upside down the tree like Peter did. Isn't that what Peter did? You know, he was still ecstatic because he was serving the Father. I see people living for the devil, and you're not. I'm going to tell you right now, you're not. I'm going to tell you to your face, you're not happy. You are one miserable person. You're making everybody around you miserable. So why don't you just change fathers? Why don't you just learn to worship the Father, the true Father in heaven, and just watch how your life will change for the better. We can repeat Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. If you don't know what else to do, just read that scripture. We can repeat 1 Chronicles 29:10 through 13. Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee. And thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might. And in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. The other day I was having a financial problem. And I said, God, you own the cattle on a thousand hills, and I praise you that just one of those cows is going to pay my bill. Amen. Doesn't it say that he owns the cattle on a thousand hills? And so God can do anything he wants to do. He can perform any miracle he wants to, right? Well, he didn't take care of that miracle, but yeah, I did get it paid. But I think it's all, and I wasn't distraught about it, but I think it was all just because I praised him. Told him about his cows that he owns. Amen. Come on. I didn't mention you sheep at all. All right, Revelation 4:8. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. You could sing that all day long and it would just really exalt him. Revelation 5:12-13. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. You can say that to him. Revelation 11:15-17. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our God, of our Lord, and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and must and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and has reigned. You can say that over the devil. You know, when the devil is harassing you, you can just tell the devil that. Revelation 15:3-4 says, great marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints, for thou only art holy. You know, that's a wonderful scripture to say to the Father when you're really down and distraught and the enemy thinks he's jumping on your head. Just tell God that. You want to see how quickly the angels come and disperse those enemies from dancing on your head. He'll put them under your feet very quickly. Revelation 16:5, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and must and shall be. Or we can read one of the favorite worship passages, and I'm just going to read these. In Psalm 72:17-19. Psalm 91, these are all the Psalms. Psalm 95:1-7, Psalm 96:1-9, Psalm 113, Psalm 134, Psalm 135, Psalm 136, Psalm 145, and Psalm 150. I'm going to let Brett off the hook right now. I didn't give the word until about 4:00 this afternoon. He's back there sweating bullets. I just want to relieve you. But he should have been watching every second of every day to make sure, see it when I sent it in. I just had to relieve him because he looked really concerned back there. He was praising God. Please let me get it right this time. See, that did you good, praising the Lord. See that? All right, let the Spirit lead you and do whatever he tells you. Sometimes you raise your hands. Sometimes you will be on your knees and sometimes flat on your face, silently holding the Lord in the Spirit. You know, it's no given way that you can have to do this. It's however the Spirit of God inside of you is leading you at that given moment. Divine revelation, that's two words run together. God gave us worship so that we might become partakers of his highest purposes. God gave us worship so that we might become partakers of his highest purposes. Yes, Christ himself is the major focus of our worship, but as we worship him, he often reveals his plans and his purposes for our lives to an even greater degree. Amen. I wish some of you young kids in here would learn that. So you're going to your parents and complaining about every little thing. You ought to have your mouth slapped. You need to start praising God. Like I told, Gabriel wants a $750 drone of some sort for his birthday. I said, well, you better take that to God. And he's, well, it's easier just to ask you. I said, no, I don't have no money. I said, if you take it to God, you know, God just might provide that thing. And so I had, all the way home, I taught him how to do that. But, you know, see, if we would just take things to God and ask God to take care of it, we might get it. He said, but it's easier to, he said, what if I bring it down to 150? I said, I don't have it. You're going to have to take it to God. And what I said that for is that I'm really referring to Nancy's kids because they're always complaining and I'm upset with that. We don't have this. We don't have that. By George, you have a roof over your head. You're fat, so you have food in your stomach. You do wear clothes. I don't want to see you run around naked. You know, you thank God you don't have one piece of clothes that you wash out every day before you go to bed and put the same dress on the next day. And everybody make fun of you because you wear the same dress every day for however long school is. And you thank God that you have soles on the bottom of your shoes and don't have to put cardboard in them and put rubber bands around them. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And that's the way I was raised. And I didn't complain. I didn't complain. At least I had a dress. At least I had water to wash it with. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying here? You know, when you kids complain like that, you stress your parents out and you really stress God out and God is really upset with you. I'm going to tell you that right now. If you learn to praise, a flagger should never be complaining to her parents, never. Because a flagger should be praising, right, Sister Grace? Are you understanding what I'm saying here? We need to get this down. No leader should be complaining about anything that God's calling you forth to do. If you don't understand it, take it to God and praise him. Just start worshiping and praising him, and then he'll explain to you what's going on in your life. All right? Lost my place. In worship, the Lord desires to, number one, make his presence known. Number two, reveal his person to us. Number three, reveal his power to us. Number four, reveal his eternal purposes to us. Number five, reveal his personal plans for our lives. When we are worshiping, it is very necessary to have our Bible and our journal close at hand. Again, God works differently in each of our lives. For some, he will make his presence known through his word. In other words, have your little journal, like you are doing now. Have it on hand whenever you go before the Lord and write down what he tells you. And also have your Bible in case he quotes a scripture to you, which he will. He'll tell you, look at such and such a scripture. You can look that scripture up because if you're like me and everybody else, you'll forget it. Because the enemy's going to make sure your mind is so busy, you won't remember the little things that God speaks to you. All right? And if he wakes you up at 2:00 in the morning and he gives you a word or two, jump out of bed and write it down because if you don't, you won't remember it when you get awake. And you'll keep saying, Holy Spirit, bring it back to me. And he doesn't because you was too lazy to get up out of bed and write it down at 2:00 in the morning. I'm speaking from experience. Amen. And I don't have a stand by my bed, so I can't write it down. I have to clear out of bed and go clear out the study. Isn't that awful to have to walk that far to hear from God? That's just, no, it's not. Amen. At least I don't have to go downstairs and outside where I don't have a roof over my house, right? Are you seeing this? We just have to learn to worship the Father. We just have to learn how to praise him and quit complaining. You know, your kids are complaining and complaining. At least your house isn't blown into smithereens somewhere. At least, you know, you have food on your table, water to drink. At least you have, you know, parents. You know, you have so much to thank God for, but all you do is complain. Grown-ups, same way. Complain, complain. Well, I'm too tired. Well, I don't have this. Well, I don't have that. And on and on and on we go. Why? Why do we do that? Because we don't know how to worship. God said, they don't know how to worship me. They know how to complain to me, but they don't know how to worship to me. So I'm hoping after tonight, y'all learn how to worship, right? All right, where are we at here? Therefore, if we don't have our Bible handy to look up what he has just told us, or our journal ready to write down what we have heard, by the time we are through worshiping, we will have forgotten everything. I already told you that. Bob Sorge, in his book Secrets of the Secret Place, confirms the same thing. He states, I am personally convinced that I cannot hold on to what God gives me apart from writing it down. Those who retain what God gives them will be given more. In other words, if you write it down and remember what he gives you, then God's going to give, he's going to add to. He will continually add to what he already gives you. If you're a writer in a book, you need, if you're asleep and he wakes you up and he gives you a one-liner, you need to ever write that one-liner down because it might be part of your book. You don't know. God will wake me up and he'll give me a couple words. That's your next sermon. I run out there and write it down because I'll forget it. And that's my next sermon. You know, it just gives me the title. And that's just how God works. And he wants to teach us to get out of bed and to make the effort to go somewhere and write things down. Our response to his love. God's desired response for us when we are in his presence is that we, one, have an open and contrite heart so that we might see ourselves as we truly are and experience contrition, brokenness, sorrow, shame, grief, repentance, and honesty. You know, when you go before the Father, you know, whenever you're worshiping him, you've got to be honest. You can't go there like you're God himself. You know, if you you know you have a problem, you need to go before God, just worshiping first, then just telling him, God, you know, I really have this problem, and I really need you to come, and I really need you to help me clean myself up, because I can't do it on my own. If you could, you'd be in heaven. Because you would be already be perfect, right? If you could clean your own self up, then you'd be cleaned up already, and I don't see you cleaned up. I still see problems rising up all around about you, right? I'm talking about me too, just not y'all. I'm including myself. Number two, submit and dedicate ourselves to him to an even greater degree, yielding and surrendering and sacrificing ourselves to his will, his word, and his authority. And you find that in Isaiah 6:8 and James 1:21-25. So I said, when you go before him, submit and dedicate ourselves to him to an even greater degree, yielding, surrendering, and sacrificing ourselves to his will, his word, and his authority. How many of you sometimes when you go before God, you just say, God, I don't know when I'm ever going to get this right. I really need you to get in here and smack me again, really. This thing has raised its ugly head again, and I am sick and tired of it. And about the time I think I'm rid of it, there it comes again. And God, I need you to come and reinforce. I need you to come and rip this thing totally and completely out of me where it'll never be able to come back again. Amen. Worship. Have an urgency to lay our burdens, requests, and intercessory prayers at his feet. And be propelled to pray even more for the lost, the divisions, the injustices, disease, the pain, and the difficulties others are experiencing. You know, when we really get lost to ourselves, we will quit praying for ourselves and we'll start praying for the things that are going on around about us. Well, first of all, thank God I'm not in their shoes, and then you'll be praying for the things that are going on around about them. Because, you know, God has done something in me, and he's had me look at people who are in sin in a different way. You know, ones that aren't in church, ones in church he's upset with, but the ones that are outside of the church and are in sin, he's had me look at them in a different way. They are bound, and until somebody gets them set free, they're going to stay bound. And are going to go to hell. But the body of Christ is too busy being selfish and self-centered that they are never going to pray for somebody to see until they see them set free. And that's the truth. Because all we can see is ourself. All we can see is the suffering they're causing us. And all we can see is we want them dead. Did you ever stop to think of why they're doing the things they're doing? This is what God asked me about a month ago. Daughter, have you ever stopped to think of why the people in the world are doing the things they are doing? It's because they don't know a difference, or they're so bound, even though they want to do right, they can't do right. And then after he showed me that, I had a few people tell me, I want to do right, but there's something in me I can't do. And isn't that what Paul said? What I want to do, I don't do. What I don't want to do, I do. And he said, daughter, you people have got, you know, the church has got to look at these people in through different eyes. Look at them through my eyes and start lifting them up before me and start praying for them to set them free as they are free. And you know what? You know why you can't do this? Because you're not free. I just heard that, so I thought I'd say that. You're not free, and that's why you can't pray for somebody that's in bondage. Because if you were, see, if you could pay for somebody that's in bondage, if you weren't self-centered and selfish. That's what I'm hearing God say. All right? So think about that. All right, number four, to love, adore, enjoy, honor, exalt, magnify, and praise Christ even more than we are doing now. And I was hoping that's what some of these songs would do tonight. Just bring out our worship to the Father. Each song had a different little twist to it, different words in it to say different things. And this is why they're put together the way they were. And finally, that we might go forth and glorify and reflect him in all that we think, say, and do. Be honest. Do we reflect Jesus all the time? See, we need to do that. And I said to God the other day, I used to be able to do this so easily. Reflect Jesus in everything. He said, but daughter, you're in a stronger battle. And the devils are stronger, and the enemy's now trying to kill you. And he's trying to kill every leader in the house of God. He's trying to kill you, and that's why you're fighting such strong battles. So instead of you getting distraught about it, we need to praise God, because through our praises, he releases the angels, and the angels come, and they fight our battles for us. See, if we would just stop thinking about ourselves. Now, where I'm at is God's had me protecting my two grandsons. I'm supposed to protect them with my life. And they're being destroyed. And so I've got to do what God's telling me to do. So what has God told you to protect that's being destroyed? I didn't say spoil. I said protect. There's a difference. So that now, therefore, I'm going to be reacting differently to different situations that come into my home. Are you understanding this? So if God has you protecting somebody, I didn't say spoiling them, I said protecting somebody, then you're going to find yourself reacting differently to things that happen to them. And that's not you, that's God putting inside of you what you need to protect. Well, with me, it's two boys. You know, you grown-ups have had your chance in the world, and if you blew it, you blew it. These boys are trying to get a footing, and they've had a bad start. Period. And I'm not going to let anybody else destroy him, not one second more. That's my assignment from God. That's my new assignment. What is your new assignment? Think about this. Because our old assignments should be gone. They should be completed. Now we have brand new assignments. Your assignment right now, Astrid, is to get your mother in America, isn't it? That's her new assignment. You know, when you complete one assignment, you get another new assignment. I finished all my other assignments, and what the people are going to do with their life is up to them now, because I did my part. Now I have to move on. And see, the reason why some of you are stuck is because you don't know that your assignment's finished. And you're still back there in that hole, and God's moved, and you're still back here trying to do something that's already finished. Are you understanding this? Come on. Now you've done all you can do, and this is what God, he's a daughter, you've done all you can do. You can't do no more, and I'm not doing no more. We're moving on. You and I are moving on. We're new to new assignments. So if I'm moving on to new assignments, y'all need to be moving on to new assignments too. You've been struggling too long, trying to keep something together that is never going to happen. All right? Come on. Think about, and in every area of your life, could be your finances. I don't know what it is. But you have to move on, because God's finished there. I don't know if we miss God. If you did, you have to go around the mountain again. Praise God. Right? Till you get it right. Okay, overcome by the joy of our salvation. The bottom line is that experiencing the manifestation of his presence through his word, through his spirit, and through just knowing he is present fills us with indescribable joy no matter what circumstances surround us. Let's read that again. The bottom line is that experiencing the manifestation of his presence, experiencing now, through his word, through his spirit, and through just knowing he is present, fills us with indescribable joy, no matter what circumstances surround us. Let's stop there. How many of you, you know, I do a lot of my praying at night because I'm trying to get little Gabriel to sleep, you know, and I do a lot of my praying then. And when I lay there and I cry, I say, God, I know you're here. I know you're with me in this circumstance, but I don't understand it. How many of you do that? I just don't understand what you're doing, Father. I really need you to speak to me and give me clarity in this thing. Because I do know he's in it. Don't you know he's in your situations? His word says so, and he says so. But yet you don't understand what he's doing. You don't understand why he isn't doing what he told you he's going to do. It keeps going on and on and on and on. And you just ask him. Sometimes he answers and sometimes he doesn't. But it doesn't hurt to answer. I mean, to ask, does it? Never hurts to ask. God taught Norval Hayes the art of worshiping and praising him, and now God meets all his needs. If you read Norval Hayes' books, which I did years ago, I read everyone's books, God taught him how to worship right up front. Norval received this letter. I am down here in Florida, and I was praying, Brother Norval. The Lord told me to send your ministry a check for $26,000. I told my wife about it, but she didn't agree with me. I said, honey, I know what the Lord told me. I was praying. God told me to send Norval Hayes' ministry a check for $26,000. So you go pray yourself and ask God about it. She went to her room and started praying. After she had prayed for a while, she came out and said, send Brother Norval the check. See, he knew how to praise God. He knew how to get into the presence of God, and God answered his prayer. That's right, Catherine. Look at him and grin. That's good. Tell him, get into presence so we can get her home. Tell him. Amen. Come on. God doesn't want his children to worry about a thing. You're worrying about getting a new home. That isn't God. If we will learn to worship the Lord, he will pay the bills. You know, somebody was trying to take my house away from me again a couple of years ago, and God said, nobody's going to take your house. This is your house. You fought too hard, too long, paid too much of a price. This is your house. So I just go along. I hear people saying this. I'm going to get this house. It's, oh, no, you're not. This is my. It's not much, but it's my house because God says so. It's mine, and I'm not going to die. So you might as well quit waiting for me to die. I'm going to go into rapture. So this thing, I don't care what happens to it after I go into rapture. Are you understanding this? I hear people all the time saying, you just wait, she's going to die, and we're going to get this house. Everybody in my house thinks that way. Guess what? You're not getting tiddly. This is my house. Amen? Because God said so. Come on. If we will all learn to worship the Lord, he will pay the bills. Believe me, he will. I walk that walk. My one daughter said to my other daughter, you know, they're always talking about me. You know, they think I'm old and feeble. Well, Mom always says that she doesn't have any money, but she buys this and she buys that and she buys the other. Where is she getting the money to buy this stuff? She's always broke. I said, well, God supplies my needs. I am always broke, but he supplies my needs. You understand this? Because I know how to worship him. I know how to praise him. Amen. Luke 22, I just ran across this, and I thought this would really interest you all. Some of you might know it, but I don't, so you just have to enjoy it anyhow, right? Luke 22, 40 through 46. When Jesus came to the place, Jesus said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. This was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to Jesus from heaven and strengthened him. See this? He could not go through the crucifixion. But because he prayed to the Father, an angel came and strengthened him. And verse 44 says, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly than his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. And then he said, they were sleeping from sorrow. All right. Then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. So you see, if you will learn to worship the Father, the angels are going to come and strengthen you. I don't care what your situation is. The angels are going to come and strengthen you, and you will be able to go through the situation in joy. That's the only way. When God, the Holy Spirit showed me that, he said, that's the only way that my son could go through the crucifixion is if the angel came and gave him the strength to do it. See, instead of y'all sitting here trying to do everything in your own strength, take the thing to the Father and worship him and tell him the truth, and then let an angel be sent to strengthen you, and all is well with your soul, right? So many times, you know, when I go to God, I say, God, I go crying quite a bit. And I say, God, I know that you're in this whole thing, but the pain is so great. And I guess I'm dumb or dense or something, but I can't understand why I have to go through this. But I'm going to go through it because you asked me to. And all of a sudden, I find myself being able to go through anything that God asked me to go through. And not with sorrow, but with complete joy. So I've been there and I've done that, and so I can tell you that it works that way. And if you'll just go before the Lord, worship him in spirit and in truth, you watch and see what God's going to do for you. If you will pray and worship the Father, you open up the heavens, and an angel will come to strengthen you so you can go forth and do the will of the Father. And this is what God spoke to me to tell you. Now, tonight, I want you to take this message. It's down in your spirit. I want you to take it home with you. And I want you to chew on it, because some of you don't believe everything that you hear, which is good at times. But tonight, we're going to play this song, Worshiper. Are you a worshiper? And I want you to sit in your seat, listen to that song, and I want you to honestly judge yourself and see if you are one of these worshipers. If you are one of these worshipers, God said he wants you to raise your hand in your seat, and when you do, his angel's going to touch you and give you a joy.